You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. We got a bunch of stuff to cover today here on the podcast. We'll start by breaking down the newest signing by Brandon Bean, acquiring Forrest Lamp, an offensive lineman, to add to the mix. We got to talk about Dean Marlowe no longer being a Buffalo Bill, and then we are going to get to your mock draft submissions. We got about 12 of these things that I'm going to respond to later in the podcast, and I'm going to tell you if I like it, love it, if it's just okay, or if it's not for me. So let's have some fun here on a Friday, starting with Forrest Lamp, the newest Buffalo Bill. Brandon Bean signed him to a one-year deal. He's an offensive lineman, 27 years old. He just turned 27 in February, so he won't be 28 until next February. Was a second-round pick in 2017 out of Western Kentucky by the Los Angeles Chargers, number 38 overall, so a pretty high selection a few years ago. And I'll tell you what, I was a big fan of Forrest Lamp. I had a low first-round grade on him, and he went number 38 overall. So this is a player that had quite a bit of appeal coming out of Western Kentucky. Let's talk about his measurables. 6'4", 309 pounds, 32 and a quarter inch arm. So you can see he doesn't have much length, and that's why a guy that played tackle in college winds up being a guard in the NFL. In terms of athleticism, he's got it. Ran a 5.0 40-yard dash, 89th percentile, 27 and a half inch vertical, that's the 50th percentile, 111 inch broad jump, that's the 93rd percentile, 7.55 three cone, that's 83rd percentile, 4.62 short shuttle, 75th percentile, and 34 reps of 225, which is the 92nd percentile. So you are talking about a plus athlete when it comes to the 40, the broad jump, and the bench press, and the three cone, and the short shuttle, and then he's average when it comes to the vertical jump. This is a guy with the athleticism that you're looking for to play offensive line. So let's talk about his career to this point. It's been disappointing, especially for a guy that was taken as high as he was, and for a team in the Los Angeles Chargers that has needed offensive line help. So as a rookie, things got off to a bad start. He tore his ACL in preseason, missed his entire rookie season. Comes back in 2018, and he's only active for two games and was a healthy scratch for most of the season. In 2019, he played in seven games with two starts. Then he broke his fibula and missed the remainder of his third season. And it's kind of disappointing when you think about how many injuries he's had so far in the NFL. And he started 51 games at Western Kentucky. Injuries weren't really an issue for him. He wound up spraining his ankle late in the week of the Senior Bowl. He wound up missing that game. And then from there, it's been, you know, obviously the ankle, then it was the ACL tear, then it was the broken fibula. And so a guy that was healthy for all of his college career suddenly had issue after issue after issue to start his pro career. Then in 2020, Forrest Lamp finally got a chance to be the permanent starter for the Los Angeles Chargers. He started all 16 games last year, and he was okay, maybe a touch below average. But like I mentioned, the Chargers have really struggled to find the right combination up front. The entire group has been very much pieced together. There's been no real anchors of the group. They have very underwhelming guys like a Sam Tevy, who has started a lot of football games for them. And I think when you're in an environment where there's no stability up front, you're playing around bad players, it's hard for you to be the best version of yourself. And so while it sounds like I'm making excuses for Forrest Lamp and him not meeting expectations as the number 38 overall pick in the draft back in 2017, I think you can point to some things here, and whether it was injuries or playing on a bad offensive line collectively when he got a chance to get in the lineup, there's no wonder that he's not been an effective player. And so I'm pretty excited about him coming to this Bills football team because it's a high upside signing, but there's no risk, right? The Bills really don't have much invested in Forrest Lamp. We don't know the terms of the deal, but I'm sure it's a minimum type contract, and it could wind up being a great move to add a guy that gives you some upside and maybe a steal here when it comes to the bargain bin free agents. One thing I love about Forrest Lamp is the athleticism. We already mentioned it, but he's got great mobility. He's got that background playing left tackle, and those pass blocking skills really help him on the interior. And this is a guy that, from a run scheme perspective, fits very well into a zone rushing attack, which all indications are that the Bills are trending towards becoming a more zone heavy rushing offense. I talked about some of those numbers this week on the podcast, where when you consider the amount of zone runs versus gap runs in 2019 and compare it to 2020, there's a significant uptick in the amount of zone rushing that the Bills have been doing. You think about the decision to move on from Quentin Spain, who really doesn't fit at all in a zone rushing attack. You think about bringing in Matt Breida. All indications are that the Bills are going to be a predominantly zone rushing offense. And Forrest Lamp, if he were able to kind of claim a role here, I think he's a great option that schematically fits. And again, high upside, low risk. So where does he fit into the mix? We know the starting offensive line is presumably Dawkins, Ford, Mitch Morse, John Feliciano, and Darrell Williams. And then you have a really deep group of players, guys with a lot of NFL experience competing for the backup jobs. So Forrest Lamp is in the mix. Ike Bakker, who is a restricted free agent. We think he'll be back, but it's not certain yet. Ryan Bates, Jamil Douglas, Bobby Hart, Jordan Devey, and Trey Adams. Those seven players are likely competing for four roster spots. And certainly the Bills could draft an offensive lineman or two. There could be more players added as the offseason continues. But right now, the Bills have to feel really good about bringing back the five guys that they want to start and having so many experienced guys behind them to sort out, to compete, and figure out the right depth behind the starters. Some other Bills news. Dean Marlowe, he signed with the Detroit Lions. Is it legal? Is it even legal for the Bills to have a season without Dean Marlowe? I mean, this dude has been with Sean McDermott since 2015. I always just assumed that he'd keep playing for the Bills as a backup, and one day he'd retire and he'd become an assistant defensive backs coach and then work his way up to a coordinator role. And the next thing you know, Dean Marlowe is some head coach in the NFL. I thought he was on that type of trajectory, and maybe he still is, but he's a Detroit Lion now. I'm guessing this came down to opportunity to play. Marlowe's been with McDermott for a long time, since 2015, and he's never really been given a chance to start. So I'm sure the path to playing time is better for Marlowe in Detroit. I'm not sure from a money perspective that Detroit's giving him significantly more than Buffalo would have given him, but there's certainly a better opportunity for him to play. I mean, this is a Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde safety situation in Buffalo. So you can get on the field a little bit in sub packages. If somebody gets hurt, you can play. But Marlowe very well could be a starter for Detroit. And I'm certainly rooting for him. I hope it works out well for him and he gets a chance to play and does well. But safety depth is suddenly a big concern for this Bills team. Behind Poyer and Hyde, you've got Jaquan Johnson, who's entering his third season, more of a special teams player, has been flashy when he had chances to play in preseason, but a guy that's a little bit small, a little bit slow, you know, he just doesn't necessarily have the top physical traits that you're looking for that makes me feel comfortable if he had to play in regular season games. You also have Josh Thomas, and this is a player that intrigues me. I need to do a deep dive into his tape at Appalachian State because he enters the NFL with a pretty good resume coming out of college. So he winds up being an undrafted free agent in 2020. But at Appalachian State, he was a two-time team captain, started 30 games, had 7 interceptions, 7 pass breakups, 7 tackles for loss, 5'11", 212, was second team all-Sun Belt in 2018 and 2019, didn't wind up having a pro day, and he wasn't a combine invite. So I don't know what his athletic testing is, but you look at some of the charting that is available with Josh Thomas from his time at App State, and he played all over the place, in the slot, in the box, from deeper alignments, and he graded very well, according to Pro Football Focus. So I'm very interested to kind of take a look at his tape and see if this is a diamond in the rough that could be that next Dean Marlowe. And maybe that's exactly what this is. This is a reset when it comes to the Dean Marlowe role in this defense. But even with Jaquan Johnson and Josh Thomas in the mix, I think the Bills probably need to add at least 2 more safeties to compete. Maybe one of those guys is Saron Neal. Has spent time at corner, at slot, at safety. Maybe the Bills view Saron Neal as a safety option, which certainly makes things look a little bit better. But the Bills probably need to find a veteran safety and maybe look to adding one in the draft at some point. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, MLB, and NHL seasons are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, and they have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So let's have some fun here and respond to your mock draft submissions. And I got a lot. I got over 60 responses, whether it was on Twitter or in my emails, with your mock drafts. And so I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. But 2 quick notes here before we start digging into these mock draft submissions. I am going to be completely honest with you on how I feel about your hauls. I'm going to say, I like it, I love it, it's okay, or it's not for me. But also remember that nobody is right today when it comes to the NFL draft. I can tell you that when I respond to your mock draft submissions, that it comes from what I think is a very informed perspective. I've been working on this draft class full-time since May of 2020, but that doesn't mean I have everything figured out. This NFL draft stuff is very much an inexact science, so I'm just going to measure your mock drafts up against the way I perceive the draft class and the way I perceive the needs of the team. So with that out of the way, let's do this. The first one comes from John, and John has the Bills taking Caleb Farley, cornerback Virginia Tech, at pick 30, Gregory Rousseau, defensive lineman from Miami, at pick 54, at 93, Hamza Nasruldeen, a safety from Florida State, at 161, Josh Amortabebe, wide receiver, Illinois, 213, Simi Fehoko, wide receiver, Stanford, and 236, Lorenzo Neal, defensive tackle from Purdue. And John notes that Lorenzo Neal was a wrestler in high school, so he seems like a McDermott guy. Always a good bet if they have a wrestling background that the Bills are interested. So here's what I like about what you did here. Love Caleb Farley in the first round. I think it would be a worthwhile swing for the Bills. I think he's the best defensive prospect in the class, except for he's had 2 back surgeries since 2019 and an ACL tear in 2017. I love the skill set. I mean, this guy's tape is phenomenal. His physical traits are phenomenal. So if he's healthy and you get him at pick 30, you have a steal. And the Bills are in position to potentially take a swing like this. So I can get behind it. Gregory Rousseau in the second round, I can live with that. I don't want him at 30, but at 54, let's go. Nasir al-Din, you guys know I love him as a positionless sub-package defender, so I like the role that he can fill for the Bills, especially with all the tight ends that are coming into the division with the New England Patriots going to run a lot of 12 personnel. You got Mike Gesicki. The Jets are going to do a lot of the San Francisco 49ers offensive concepts, and you know they love to get George Kittle involved. But, you know, look, they don't have the tight end right now that's that type of threat, but you know they want that. The Chiefs have Kelce. Darren Waller's on the Raiders. The Colts like to get tight ends involved. The Ravens like to get tight ends involved. So it's good to have a player like this to help. Now, I like the idea of either a Mota Bebe or Fehoko, but I don't need both of them. To me, that was redundant for you to go with both of those receivers. One or the other is fine, but you don't need both. And then the late round flyer on Neal, the high school wrestler, as a potential fit with McDermott. So overall, I like it. I like it. Very close to love it, but not quite. The wide receiver redundancy, and at the end of the day, I'm lukewarm on Rousseau, and Neal doesn't really move the needle for me as a late-round guy. Nathan says, I'm a West Virginia fan, so I was wondering if you could give me a quick opinion on Darius Stills and if you think he is a Buffalo Bill fit or whatever round you could see him drafted. Thanks in advance. And, of course, Nathan provides a mock draft as well. I'll comment on Darius Stills. He was a good player for West Virginia. He just does not move the needle for me at all. He doesn't have size. He doesn't have athleticism. I just don't know where the role is for him. So to me, he's a UDFA, and I don't really see him having much of an NFL career. As for Nathan's mock draft, Caleb Farley in the first round, Gregory Rousseau in the second round. So we have the same two, and then things get a little bit different here. Ben Cleveland, guard from Georgia at pick 93. I like Ben Cleveland a lot. I do get a little bit concerned that if the Bills are going to go away from gap run concepts and do more zone, he's not a great fit. But for a power style run offense, I really do love Ben Cleveland in the third round. Joshua Bledsoe, safety from Missouri at pick 161. I think that's a good selection. He's a very smart safety, and I think a guy that can be that slot safety type player, Buffalo nickel in a pinch, and really replace some of what the Bills lost in Dean Marlowe. So that was a good pick. Josh Amortabebe at 174. Bobby Brown, a defensive lineman from Texas A&M at 213. That's a great pick. The Bills need some depth on the defensive line, especially at one tech. Bobby Brown can do that, and I think he's got some upside based on his size and athleticism. And then running back Rakeem Boyd at 236. So I'm a fan of this. I like this one a lot. I'm not going to go all the way in on love just because I'm lukewarm on Rousseau, and I'm a bit unsure on Cleveland being a true scheme fit. But I definitely like your haul. And, you know, if I say like it, that means that if given the option right now to say this is the Bills draft for 2021 and it's like the actual draft haul that you get, that I would accept it. So like it is not a bad thing. The next one is from Will, who says, I went BPA for the first two picks and then reached a bit for a guy I like in Tyler Shelvin, playing the waiting game between 161 and 174 and still managed to snag Cooper. Anyway, the last pick is just because I want that jersey. So let's see what this one is. Will has Greg Newsome, the second cornerback from Northwestern, being the pick at 30, which I absolutely love. I think he would be a wonderful first-round selection for the Bills at pick 30. At 61, offensive lineman Alex Leatherwood from Alabama. If you play him at guard, I think he has a chance to compete for a starting role for the Bills in year two, but I don't really like him at tackle. So I see the need potentially on the interior offensive line, and I can get behind that. Tyler Shelvin, defensive lineman from LSU at 93. Don't hate it at all. I think he's going to be an outstanding one tech in the NFL. Joshua Bledsoe at 161. And look, this is a couple of mock drafts now that have Joshua Bledsoe, and I haven't even talked about this player yet on the podcast, so I love that I'm seeing him. He's definitely a mid-round target that I like a lot. Then he goes John Cooper, the edge at 174. I think he's a worthwhile swing late in the draft. He's a toolsy edge. And then Amir Smith-Marset, wide receiver, Iowa at 213. I think he screams Buffalo Bill. Speed down the field, good kick return ability, and he's from Iowa. So I think there's plenty of reasons to get behind it, And at pick 213, giving a guy with return ability and speed is a good idea. And then the corner, Rashard Wild Goose Jr. I think he's from Wisconsin at 236. I'd be lying if I said I know much about him, but he does have a sweet last name, and it would be a fun, it would be a fun jersey to buy as well. So overall, I will say that I like it. Next one comes from Stu. He did some wheeling and dealing, which you can too if you are a premium member at thedraftnetwork.com. At 21, he trades up for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker from Notre Dame. I think he is the true dream for the Buffalo nickel position. Remember, when McDermott and Bean were in Carolina, they had Thomas Davis, they had Luke Kuechly, they were in their prime, and they invested a first-round pick on Shaq Thompson, who is the OG Buffalo nickel, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is a better version of that. So if that's a role that McDermott feels he has to get, go get your player, and I like it. I think he'd be a big-time addition to the Bills' defense. At 70, Peyton Turner, edge from Houston. Love it. He's one of my favorite day two targets for the Bills at defensive end. Super toolsy, hot motor, great length, and super good flexibility for his size. So I love that pick. Tyler Shelvin at 93, love that pick. At 110, Trill Williams, cornerback from Syracuse. Love that pick. And then at 213, Jalen Darden, wide receiver from North Texas, gives the Bills a speed option and a guy that could potentially help in the return game. So I love it. I love this haul from Stu. All players that I like, a lot of athleticism, a lot of upside, and you can see the role for all of these players. So that is definitely my first love it of the day. JD Simon, 86, is up next. And his haul at pick 30, Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia. That's a pick that I like a ton. He's a very athletic player, good ball skills, good in man coverage, and I like that he can give the Bills more scheme versatility with what they can do in terms of coverage concepts because he's a plus athlete at the position. He's the type of player that can run with speed, and the Bills need that at corner. At 61, Wyatt Davis, offensive lineman from Ohio State. I think he's definitely a guy that can come in and challenge to start within the next two seasons at guard. Hamza Nasruldeen at 93. We love that pick. Ellerson Smith at 161. This is a pick I love. Developmental edge defender. A lot of tools there with him, and that's a great pick. At 174, Javian Hawkins, running back from Louisville. Speed, right? That's what he brings to the table. And, you know, maybe Matt Breida is only a one-year thing, and you'll have Hawkins waiting in the wings to take that role. Cornell Powell, wide receiver Clemson at 213. A late bloomer for the Tigers, but man, he was dynamic this past season. I think he'll be a really good fifth receiver in the NFL and give you plus ability on special teams. And then the last pick is Amir Smith-Marset from Iowa, who we've already talked about. So goodness gracious, this is a tremendous haul. I will give this the love it label. Sign me up for this right now. You got athletes, you got players at positions of need, high upside selections, players that I think have a clear path to a role. Love it. Troy, he has Quiddy Pay at pick 30, edge defender from Michigan. I love that selection. At 61, Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback from Syracuse. I've talked about him on the podcast as well. To me, Pay and Melifonwu are a dream pairing in the first and second round. At 93, another player I like, Armon Ross St. Brown, wide receiver from USC. He does everything well, and he's got strong hands, super competitive, physical. He's not a burner, but I think that he could claim a role as a top four receiver for the Bills offense within the next couple seasons. This is another pick I like at 161, Derek Forrest, the safety from Cincinnati. I think everything you've heard me say about Josh Bledsoe from Missouri applies to Derek Forrest, super underrated, a great athlete. He's probably more athletic than Bledsoe, so I love that pick. Crisis Tonga from BYU, a defensive lineman. He can help the Bills with depth at one technique. This is a fun pick. 213, Chris Evans, running back, Michigan. He's got a lot of tools. Like, there's a lot of sleeper potential when it comes to Chris Evans. Size and athleticism is definitely there. And then at 236, Diamador Lenore, cornerback from Oregon, who I think he can play a little bit. He's athletically lacking a bit, but there was a point in time when I was watching him a couple of years ago that I thought he was definitely like potentially a mid-round guy. So overall, this is a great haul. I love it. This is absolutely a love it. So three strong love it's there, starting with Stu, and then JD Simon, and then Troy all get the love it label here in this segment. Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the most amazing, best tasting protein bar on the planet. They have tons of amazing flavors. I love the lemon almond cheesecake, the cookies and cream, the coconut almond. They're all delicious. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. It's like eating a candy bar, but it's a protein bar and it's good for you. They are great for anyone who is health conscious, whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat. You got to try Built Bars. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone who is on the keto diet. I've got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's get to some more mock drafts. Next up is Charlie. Charlie has the Bills trading up and down a little bit here. At number 40, Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. You know I love that selection. 61, Quinn Meinerz from Wisconsin Whitewater. That's a bit rich for me. I know that Quinn Meinerz has some fans. I think he's a developmental type player that's probably 2 years away from really claiming a role, and kind of a weird fit for the Bills offense, especially if they want to go with more of the zone run scheme. At 93, Benjamin St. Juste, a cornerback from Minnesota. I think he's a high-end developmental prospect, and I think I like that. I like the idea of him in Sean McDermott's defense and the Bills' ability to develop defensive backs. I think St. Juste is a high-end type player to develop. At 114, Aleem McNeil, defensive tackle from North Carolina State. Absolutely love that selection. He's 320 pounds. He runs around a 5-flat 40-yard dash, converted running back, had 40 rushing touchdowns in high school, and he also played linebacker. And he's come on at defensive tackle for NC State, and he plays with a lot of energy. He's got a lot of power, and I think he'd be a wonderful option as a depth player at one tech and potentially an eventual starter. Caden Stearns, a safety from Texas at 161. That's a fine pick. 174, Josh Amortabebe, wide receiver from Illinois. And then 213, Amir Smith-Marset, wide receiver from Iowa. So I see a lot of double dipping at wide receiver. Actually, Charlie goes three receivers here. I don't know. I don't know if there's space for three rookie receivers on this team. I certainly love Elijah Moore, but I felt like the last two receivers I could have done without. Maybe you could have went with an option at edge, even tight end. So I don't necessarily like the disbursement of positions here. Overall, I will say this one is okay. I'm not going to say not for me because I like the Moore pick. I like the McNeil pick, but I like the St. Juste pick as a developmental corner, but the other four picks I could probably leave on the table. So that's a not for me from Charlie. Next up is Anthony Romeo from Cover One. He's on the Hoof Podcast. Appreciate you sending this in. Anthony has the Bills moving up and down a little bit here as well. At 39, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver from Florida. I like that pick. Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback Syracuse at 61. At 93, Hamza Nasruldeen, safety from Florida State. So all three of those first picks, you're speaking my language there. I love it. Then Ben Cleveland at 94. I like Ben Cleveland. I'm just a little unsure about the scheme fit. Rashad Weaver, edge defender from Pittsburgh at 151. I think that's the right range for Weaver. If you get him higher, like in the top 100, I'm probably out. But at 151, I can definitely get behind it. And then he doubled down with edge defenders, a toolsy guy, and Jonathan Cooper from Ohio State at 174. So I think this is close to a love it. This is real close. Real close. I don't know if I'm going to go all the way love it, but I like it. I definitely like it. Next one is from Doug. He has the Bills going Quiddy Pay, defensive end Michigan at pick 30. You know I love that. At pick 61, it's Creed Humphrey, the interior offensive lineman from Oklahoma. That's a terrific pick. I like Humphrey as a player. I think the Bills are going to love him too. Again, a former wrestler and a guy that I think could play guard or center and has really good leadership traits. I think the Bills are going to be high on Humphrey. I like that one a lot. 93, Paulson Adebo, cornerback from Stanford. If you can't get a corner in the first two rounds, but then I get Adebo in the third round, sign me up. I love it. Anthony Schwartz at pick 161, a slot receiver from Auburn. I like the idea of investing in a slot receiver because it's such an important role in the offense, and Cole Beasley's contract is up after the 2022 season. To Darryl Slayton, defensive lineman from Florida at 174, a big-bodied guy that can be an option for depth at one technique. 213 is Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State. I really like Jefferson's tape. He's not super explosive, but I think he has very natural vision, and I think he makes good decisions with the football. He's got some fumbling issues. You wish he was better as a receiver, but as a late-round running back, I think it's a good pick. And then Paris Ford, a safety from Pittsburgh at 236. I thought Ford had reasonable tape, but that dude tested like an offensive lineman, and he plays safety. So I'll say this. I absolutely love your first four picks, and your last three were just okay. So we're going to go like it. But overall, you know, look, there's not a whole lot to be that mad about because I'm only complaining about a couple of your late round picks. Next up is Andrew, and Andrew has the Bills moving up and down the order. At 21, moving up for Azeez Ojulari, edge defender, Georgia. Don't mind that at all. Levi Owusu-Riki, defensive lineman from Washington at 67. I like this pick a ton. He's my top defensive tackle in the class, and I think he's a really good player in terms of pass rush ability and run defense, and you know, certainly would put the heat on Ed Oliver. And so you either get the guy that's going to replace Ed Oliver because you're not going to re-sign him, or you've definitely created a dynamic 1-2 punch at three tech, and you put both of those guys on the field on passing downs, and that's a lot to deal with. So I really like that pick. Paulson Adebo, cornerback, Stanford at 93. Love it. At 109, Andre Sisco, a safety from Syracuse. There are things that I like about Sisco. Obviously, the ball skills are special, and he's a good athlete, and he's a guy that I think is willing to be physical. He just is a bit of a freelancer. He's a chance taker. And, you know, I think he's got to learn to be 1/11th of the defense a little bit more consistently. But I think he's a high risk, high reward type player. But I can see him being a total, you know, disappointment in the NFL. But at 109, a worthwhile swing. At 161, UNC wide receiver Daz Newsome. I think he'd be a fun developmental slot player. Then you have 165, Drew Dahlman, offensive lineman from Stanford. A guy that can compete for depth on the offensive line. And then Chris Evans, running back from Michigan at 213. Again, a super dynamic guy in terms of size and athleticism. So I love it. I love it. There's a couple of swings in here, which I like. I like the investments on the defensive line. Two guys that can get after the quarterback. I get a corner I like in Adebo. And then, you know, some reasonable players in terms of developmental upside and guys that, you know, can fill roles and really, you know, add to the depth of this roster with interesting players. So I love it. Good haul there, Andrew. The next one today comes from Jackie. Jackie has the Bills taking Jason Owe, defensive end, Penn State at pick 30. This is a big swing. All the athleticism in the world you can find in Owe. He just needs to learn how to use his physical gifts to make plays. But certainly an interesting swing, one that I would understand. I'm not sure if I would do it, but if you get Owe to reach his ceiling, you have found yourself a steal. So I would understand it. Pick 61, Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback, Syracuse. Love it. Hamza Nasruldeen, safety, Florida State at 93. Love it. 161, Daz Newsome, wide receiver from North Carolina. That's a really good pick at 161. Bobby Brown, the defensive lineman from Texas A&M at 174. We've already talked about him. Pro Wells, a tight end at 213. I like that pick. I think at 213, a guy that could potentially be a big slot, do some H-back stuff for you. That's a worthwhile selection at 213. And then Landon Young, an offensive lineman for depth purposes. So you took some swings here. I don't hate it. We'll go with like it. I like this haul. The last one today comes from Parker. Parker has the Bills moving around the board a little bit. 26 overall, Jalen Phillips, edge from Miami. I don't know if the Bills are going to be in on Jalen Phillips, but if you just watch his tape in 2020, there's no doubt he's the best defensive end in the class. At pick 61, Amari Rodgers, wide receiver from Clemson, developmental slot option. And I think he's a fun player, like a good route runner, good hands, and he's pretty good after the catch. He's built like a running back. I think he'd be a fun player in this offense. 93, Ben Cleveland, the guard from Georgia. 113, Aleem McNeil, defensive tackle, NC State. I love that one. And then 174, Ambry Thomas, cornerback from Michigan. And that is a big yes for me. I like Ambry Thomas. I actually just did his evaluation, and you wish he had more reps. He's only played 800 snaps. He didn't play at all in 2020, but you see competitiveness, athleticism, length. He'll tackle, super aggressive in coverage. Ball production is there. I think he's a candidate to give you a player that is in the mix to play outside at wide corner or in the slot. So that's a player that I like a ton and a pick that I like a ton. So this is a love it to close things out with this overall haul. I like the positions addressed. I like the players selected. So there you have it. A little Friday mock draft frenzy to close out the week on the podcast. We'll do this a couple more times before the NFL draft gets here. And I always enjoy seeing what you guys send. And it's always fun to react and respond and create some good discussion. It's a good way to help us get to some players that we might not discuss otherwise. So thanks for participating. And thanks to everyone who I didn't get to as well. There was a lot of submissions, and unfortunately, we couldn't get to everyone. I'm only supposed to go 30 minutes on this podcast, and I break that rule all the time. So, please show me some grace if I didn't get to your submission this time around. But there will be future opportunities. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today and this week on the podcast. I hope you had a great time listening to our discussion this week. You know I had a fun time putting it all together, so thanks for joining me. We got a lot of good stuff prepared next week. We got a great guest lined up. We're going to do some positional deep dives. Herd mentality's coming. Brandon Bean's probably going to sign some players we got to talk about. So don't miss it. Make sure you're subscribed. Rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.